Welcome to the radio ministry of Albertville First Baptist Church. We invite you to join us each Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB. For more information about the ministries of First Baptist Church or to listen to previously recorded messages, please visit albertvillefbc.church. If you do not have a church home, please join us for worship this Sunday at 8:30 a.m. or 10:30 a.m. We hope you are blessed by today's broadcast.
Good morning, First Baptist Church. It's great to see you. As others are making their way in, we're going to go ahead and begin. We're honored to have you with us. I want to begin with a psalm. Psalm 150, read it this morning, prayed through it this morning with some men at 5:30 right through this building. We prayed for you where you're sitting and who you are. But here's what it says. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His mighty deeds. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with trumpet sound. We have trumpet sound over here today. Praise Him with lute and harp. No lutes or harps today. Praise Him with tambourine. We have tambourine, sort of, okay. It says, and dancing. Praise Him with strings and pipe. Praise Him with sounding cymbals, with loud crashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. If you're in this room, do me a favor. Breathe in. Breathe out. You've been commanded by God to praise the Lord. And so we'll praise Him today. If you're participating at home online, praise the Lord. Listen, we are thankful to be alive and breathing. So let's sing that to Him this morning. Let's stand together as we sing, "There's Joy in the Morning, Alive and Breathing."
What holds your heart? What stirs your soul? What matters come to mind? The cares you keep, the thoughts you think, it's not all wasted time. Seeking you will find. Joy still comes in the morning. Hope still walks with the hurting. If you're still alive and breathing, praise the Lord. Don't stop dancing and dreaming. There's still good news worth repeating. So lift your head and keep singing. Praise the Lord. The years roll by. Wonder why we lost our way from home. Our Father finds the child inside. We are left for growing old. Let everything praise the Lord.
Let everything,
in the working,
let everything,
in the waiting,
let everything,
it praise the Lord.
Let everything,
in the blessing,
let everything,
in the breaking,
let everything,
come on, praise the Lord.
Let everything,
in the dying,
let everything,
the rising,
let, everything,
let it praise the Lord. Still walks with the hurting. If you're still alive and breathing.
for just a moment, and let me ask this, as we sing that song, if you're still alive and breathing, praise the Lord, who has, now it needs to be short, and so please make it short, but a short word of testimony, what you praise the Lord for today. Who'll speak that loudly and proudly this morning? Who has something to share?
Good help.
Amen. What are you praising for today?
My soul.
Amen. Somebody else?
My children.
Amen.
My church.
Amen. Amen. What are you praising for?
His faithfulness.
His faithfulness, forgiveness.
Answered prayer.
Protection. Patience. What else?
Who he is.
Amen.
Love.
What else are you praising for today?
Hope.
Peace.
Mercy.
Family. Grace. What are you praising for? Amen. What else? Jesus. Somebody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for the privilege to gather today. Lord, we take time to pray for our church of the week this week, for Compassion City Church. Lord, we pray you would bring revival there. We're so thankful for their ministry. I'm thankful for their pastor, John. I'm thankful to meet with him every week and pray together and pray with a few other pastors and for so many in our area. God, we are blessed with so many faith families where they lift you up every single week. And God, that's not the case in every city and every county and every state across our nation. We are blessed beyond measure. So God, may we be reminded that we are better together. May we be reminded that the lost world around us will know that you are real by the way we treat each other as believers, and that transfers over into churches as well. So God, my prayer is that you would strengthen the area churches, those that live for you and speak your truth, and where the gospel will be proclaimed today. God, bring revival. We pray for Compassion Church. Lord, I pray for our mission organization of the week, Real Life Ministries. Lord, we thank you that they are on the front lines of ministry. They are offering hope and help and healing for women. They are offering help and hope and life for babies. Father, they are offering hope and help for men who are young fathers. God, we're so thankful for that ministry. We're thankful for the volunteers who serve. I'm thankful for our own Shannon Cole, who's a nurse manager there, for others here that serve on the board and volunteer. Father, I pray that you would empower them with your Holy Spirit this week, that lives would be changed by that ministry this week. And Father, I pray for each person standing in this room right now. Father, we have a million other places we could choose to be today. But Father, we choose to be in your house. Lord, we choose to be in this place gathered together. Why? Father, I can't help but believe it's because we come expecting. We come expecting that when we praise you together, it is better than when we praise you alone. We come understanding that when we gather together and speak truth from your word, Lord, that you use it to transform us and make us more like you. So God, my prayer is that you would do that today in this place. And Father, I take a moment to thank you for your precious blood of the Son, Jesus. Thank you that Jesus shed his blood for us. Thank you that that was done so to make a way that our sins could be paid, that we could be made whole and clean before you. And it's not just so we can go to heaven, Father, it's so we can have mercy and grace and your Holy Spirit power on this earth. So God, we will celebrate that through song now as we lift up this song to you in Jesus' name. Just remain standing and let this song be in an attitude of prayer. You know this hymn. Let's lift it together to the Lord.
Sing this out.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
No!
You are so marvelous. You are so magnificent. You're worthy of all the praise we can muster up today. Lord, I thank you as I listen to that beautiful horn section with such power playing in that song. It's a reminder that we should ring out how much you have blessed us and the evidence of your goodness in our lives. So God, I pray that we would all take just a moment right now. Would you guys, right where you are, as we pray, just thank him for what he's done in your life. God, you've been so good. Father God, I pray if there's one here that does not know you, one participating online, one listening on the radio, that today they would give their life to you. Father, I pray for those of us that do know you, if we've been walking in some level of boredom, if we have maybe not even boredom, maybe it's more like bondage, maybe we find ourselves not living the abundant life you've called us to, God, I pray today you would do a work in our lives and let us see that you provide hope and you provide abundant, Holy Spirit-empowered life for us. And may we seek to walk in that. In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated, friends. If you have a Bible, turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Thank you, Don. Thank you, worship team and band. We're so blessed with some incredible worship leaders to lead us to the Lord. This is our final week of our message series called Breaking Boredom. And I want to start with a quote from Howard Hendricks. He very famously said this, "Nothing is more common than unfulfilled potential." Let me say that again. "Nothing is more common than unfulfilled potential." Think about all the things in your life or in the lives of people you know that do not live up to their potential. Let me give you a few options of things we might own or purchase that we don't always use very well. How about, first of all, gym memberships? Anybody in here willing to confess that you've paid for a month or two and never gone? If that's you, Come on. The Lord sees your hand. He knows your heart anyway, so it's okay. All right, how about this? Exercise bikes and treadmills. They're wonderful. You can dry clothes on them on the side. I mean, they're great for all kinds of stuff like that. Maybe you have this with the best of intentions to do things as a family, and you have a boat or an RV or some camping equipment that gets used once a year. It's unrealized potential. Or maybe you decided years ago you wanted to learn to play the piano like Jenny, or you want to learn to play the guitar like Macy, or you want to learn something. So pianos and guitars, sometimes they are unrealized potential. One man told me, and I'm going to leave him nameless, he says at his house, the unrealized potential is the oven. And now, I'm not saying who it is, because we want him to go home today, and so we won't say, but you could argue that these items are just high-cost, unfulfilled potential. But some other people would say, no, for those things, for me, are you kidding? I get so much joy and quality of life from those things because I use them. What's the difference in the two? The difference is this little phrase, realize potential. We can know what to do with the life we have, but there is a gap between knowledge and action. And this is important that we come to understand. In this final week of Breaking Boredom, we're going to look at the difference between what we know and how we live. Now, let's be honest. All of us, as believers in Jesus, we have been educated somewhat beyond our level of obedience. We know more of what we are supposed to do than we often do. That would be true across the board. But I want to share with you that there are certain things we can put into practice in our life. When we do, we will experience the power and the fulfillment of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Now, I am not saying that you are working for your salvation. You couldn't earn your salvation if you wanted to, right? Amen? Let me prove it to you. Ephesians chapter 2, if you'll look with me very quickly. This is Paul speaking to the church in Ephesus, and listen to his words. He says, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of the flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath." Let me stop right there. What does that say? It says that you and I were dead in our sins. If you know Jesus, you were dead in your sins. And it says that you were a child of wrath, meaning that God's wrath had to come and was going to come. But there's good news. Keep reading. It says, but God. We could just have a whole sermon right there. But God. How many times in your life has something gone on? But God. How many days of difficulty? But God. How many struggles and pain and problems? But God. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses and sin, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Amen? And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Friends, please understand, you weren't just saved because Jesus wanted you to not have to go to hell. You have been raised to heavenly places, meaning you are positionally made holy. You have been made righteous and clean. And that's how God sees us and wants us to be. We are his sons and we are his daughters. We are not just there as people who have made it by the skin of our teeth. No, we are there because of Jesus. And so he makes a way for us. Verse 8, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." That word workmanship in verse 10 is the word poema in Greek. That word means work of art. We get our word poem from it. If we wrote a poem today about your life, we could do so, and we could take time to do it. But it means you're a work of art. God's workmanship, his masterpiece, his work of art is in your life and mine. And we were created to live out the grace of God through good works that others might be drawn to him. This is an incredible passage that reminds us that salvation comes from grace through faith alone. We did not earn it, but oh, now we can live it. But for so many believers, We think that knowing Jesus is enough, but can I tell you, knowing Jesus is not enough. We must not just know Jesus, we must desire to grow in Jesus. Then we can be empowered in Jesus. Then we can live for Jesus, and we can love like Jesus. So if you have been bored with your walk with Christ at any point, or maybe not even bored, maybe you've been unfulfilled in your walk with Christ, or maybe you've been missing the power of the Holy Spirit, if I were to ask you, did the last week of your life, does it resemble someone empowered by the Holy Spirit? The last month of your life, does it resemble someone empowered by the Holy Spirit? I would ask you to stop and examine, and I want you to know if that's not the case, there is hope for you today from the Scriptures. Now, this would be the perfect time in the normal sermon to stop and tell you all the things you need to stop doing. It would be the time to start reading Scriptures that tells you stop doing this and stop doing that. And by the way, there are many places in the Bible where it tells us what sins we need to get rid of. I'm going to list just a few on the wall behind me for you. This is a small sampling. Anger. If you have an anger problem, the Scripture wants you to be rid of that. Pride. Listen, every sin you've ever committed goes back to pride eventually, because you think you know better than God, and I think I know better than God, and all sin comes from that. So pride is an issue for us. Lust, worry, fear, homosexuality. How about sexual sins for heterosexual people? We like to leave those out. We want to be on somebody else, but what about ourselves and what we need to be living and how we need to be living? Prejudice, gossip, lying, drunkenness, greed, idolatry, racism. I could keep going, but you get the point. There are so many places in the Bible where it tells us stop doing the things that we are doing. But I've come to realize, too, that for every verse that tells us what not to do, it seems to be there's two or three that show us the great and wonderful and godly way we can live and what He has called us to. So He is calling us to new life in Him. But I want to say, if you're stuck in one of those sins, you're stuck in something like that, I want to encourage you, though, that there's hope for you and there's help for you, and I would love to help you. So if you'll come and see me at some point or call me this week, I'd love to help you walk through some of those and work through some of those. It would be our honor to do so. But for today, we're not going to focus on all the bad things we need to get rid of. That would be great. But we're going to talk about the things that we need to put into our life to make sure we can live the fulfilled, adventurous life that God's called us to. And our key verse is James chapter 4, verse 17. Now, I'm just going to read one verse, and that's a little dangerous. It's called proof texting, where you might grab a verse and let it mean something specific. But the way it reads is exactly what it means. James, the half-brother of Jesus, gives us this wonderful book which tells us practically how to live our lives for Jesus. And then towards the end of it, he says this, don't miss it. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. Let me read it again. For whoever knows the right thing to do, it's not about the wrong things. Whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. We have phrases that we use in the modern day church to describe this. If you do something you're not supposed to do, that's called a sin of commission. You have committed a sin. If you lie, you've committed the sin of lying. If you steal, you've committed the sin of stealing. You understand? But if you don't do something that God says specifically we ought to do, we call that the sin of omission. We have omitted something from our lives that God says needs to be in our lives. And friends, let me say this to you. I really believe that many people have omitted their way right into a boring, unfulfilled Christian life. If we leave out some of the wonderful things, adventurous things, godly things that He has told us to do by the power of the Spirit, when we leave those out, I promise your life will be unfulfilled. I promise you will find the Christian life boring. There's no way around it, because we're not living out the precepts He has for us. Now, we don't have time to cover all of those. There are dozens and dozens in the Scripture. But I simply want to give you two to look at today. And these two aren't going to surprise anyone that's been around here for a while. But if you're new, or if you've been around a while, it's a good reminder of two areas of our life that maybe we have omitted as of late. But if we put these back into practice, I promise you a fulfilled life in the Lord. First of all, we are called to share Jesus with others. You and I are called to share Jesus with others. 1 Peter 3:15 says, Peter speaks these words, "But in your hearts, honor Christ as the Lord, as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect." What does that say? Always be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope you have in Christ. Be ready to speak the reason of why you're happy, to speak the reason of why you have joy, to speak the reason of why you have peace in your life. Always be ready to go. Jesus himself speaks these words in Matthew chapter 28. He says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." Nations means peoples. Make disciples of all peoples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the very end of the age. I want to dare you to do something today. I dare you to share the gospel with someone and then tell me that you were bored doing it. It's never happened. You may be nervous, share anyway. You may be embarrassed, share anyway. You may feel inadequate, share anyway. I'm telling you, no one has ever in the history of the world says, "Oh, I get so bored and tired of helping people escape hell and go to heaven." No one has ever in their wildest dreams said that. But if you will share the gospel verbally with someone and you see them respond to Jesus, I promise it will be a new addiction in your life. It will lead to an incredible, adventurous fulfillment in your life like you may have never experienced. You just have to trust me. There is nothing boring about sharing the gospel. Now, is there something nervous about it? Let's be honest. A lot of times there is. Is there something anxious about it? Sometimes there is. Is there something risky about it? Every once in a while, not often. But the reality is we tend to leave that out. In a room this size, there would be a number of us, and I don't want to pick on you, but I want to be honest. There would be a number of us in this room who have Jesus in our lives who have never shared the gospel out loud. Now, I don't mean you've invited someone to church. I mean, you've shared the truth of who Jesus is and what he did in your life and how he can do that for someone else. There would be several that have never done that. And I want to say to you today, you can change that. And I want to also say to you today that I firmly believe you are not, you may think you're enjoying your Christian walk. You are missing out on the incredible fulfillment that God has for you. There is something more exciting waiting, and that is through leading others to him. Come on and trust me and give it a try today. The second area that I believe that we sometimes omit that leads to a boring Christian life is this. We are called to serve others in Jesus' name. Not just to serve others, but to serve others in Jesus' name. Let me share with you three scriptures that talk about this. Mark chapter 12. Verse 28 through 31 says this. It says, and it's a story that happened with Jesus. One of the scribes, a religious leader, came up and heard them, the religious leaders and Jesus, disputing with one another, and seeing that Jesus answered them well, asked him, "Which commandment is the most important of all?" And Jesus answered, "The most important is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.'" Jesus tells us the greatest thing you can do is to love God with your whole being and love others as yourself. But here's what I've learned. You cannot love God. The best way to show God you love him is how we love others. Otherwise, it's just words for the most part. And the best way to love others requires action. I can tell you I love you all day long. I can give you a heart emoji on Facebook. But what does that mean for you? Nothing. You think about that for a moment. It's great that we do those things, and I'm glad we're so connected on social media, but we can get the little emojis left and right. But some of us have made a habit of living our lives like an emoji. Oh, I love that. I love what we're talking about. Listen, friends, you have to put actions to that. So if we don't love by serving, then truthfully, our love is just words. That's true in your home as well. I have met with couples many times where they talk about how much they love each other, but they don't serve each other at all. It doesn't work, friends. I've met with people many times who would argue thoughts, well, I love everybody equally, but they don't serve people in certain ways, or they look down on people in certain ways differently. Friends, love is action. Kindness is love in action form. And so we want to talk about what it means to serve. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, Paul says this, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Our calling is to be kind. And again, that's not a proof text. You can see that over and over and over in the New Testament. We are called to live that way. Colossians 3:12, Paul says these words, put on them as God's chosen ones, that's you and me, holy and beloved, that's you and me, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all these, above all this good stuff, compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, he says, above all this, put on love, which binds together in perfect harmony. So what does that mean? The supreme ethic of life is love. How we love God is how we love others. And we can love others. It will pour over and overshadow all these things that we can do to live out and show service and love for others. So we love others by serving them. We serve others through acts of kindness. We serve through praying with people. We serve by being Jesus in the flesh, being Jesus with skin on. One of my favorite parables is probably one of your favorite as well. It's the parable of the Good Samaritan. And in this story, we're not going to read it for time's sake. It's found in Luke chapter 10 if you want to read it later. But we're reminded that there was a man in trouble, and he gets beat up and robbed, and he's left to die on the side of the road. And a religious leader comes along and walks across the street, and another person comes along in good standing and walks across the street. And then a Samaritan that was hated by the Jews comes along, and he cannot stand the thought of walking past this person in need. So he stops and helps. And I'm not going to read the story, but I want to share with you four things we learn about kindness from this story. Here they are if you're writing things down. Number one, kindness requires action. The Samaritan did not pass by or ignore the person in need. You cannot keep kindness in your head. You cannot keep kindness in your heart. You cannot keep kindness as an emoji. You have to live it out with your hands and with your feet and with your mouth. Kindness requires action. Secondly, kindness will take a risk. There is a risk. This Samaritan knew that on this road, this could have been a trap. Have you ever been on a country road or somewhere out a little remote and someone's pulled over on the side of the road with their hood up and you want to stop and help them, but as you do stop and help, you think, hey, what if this person knocks me over the head and stuffs me in their trunk? Am I the only one who thinks things like that? But if you've ever thought this could be a trap, that's exactly what they thought here. This could be a trap. Someone could want to do me in right here, but he takes the risk anyway because kindness is willing to take a risk. And so he risks something. He risks his own possessions, what he had with him, his own health to do this. Now, for you, an act of kindness is probably not going to be a great risk. For me, it's probably not a great risk. Maybe a little time, maybe some of our finances, maybe our reputation, maybe a risk of embarrassment from rejection. Every now and then someone will turn you down when you try to do something nice for them. Doesn't make sense to me. I'm sure it doesn't you, but it happens. But that's okay. You move on from that anyway. The third lesson we learn from the Good Samaritan story is this. It's that kindness will put others first. The Samaritan had to allow his life to be interrupted. You see, you and I have a problem. That problem is one of the greatest blessings you have too. It's a blessing to be an American. It's a blessing to live in the United States of America. It's a blessing to be a part of a nation that has an incredible constitution that provides life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It's a blessing to live in a place where we can worship freely and where we can seek to advance our life in the way that we feel free to do so, in the way that we believe God is leading. All that's a blessing, but there's also a problem. And the problem is the same thing. It's that we're Americans. And the American way of life is everything's in a hurry and everything's always trying to happen fast. And we've always got to get somewhere else and we've always got to move forward. And I would say to you, that is the killer of kindness. Hurry. Hurry kills kindness. We are called to stop and let our lives be interrupted from time to time by things around us. We've talked about as a staff at our church that as busy as we can be with things happening and stuff that's going on, it can be easy when someone comes to see you or you run into someone, if you're not careful in the middle of the busyness, to think of that as an interruption. But what we are reminded of is this, is that people do not interrupt our ministry. People are our ministry. And can I say to you, people won't interrupt your ministry. People are your ministry. So if you want to kill kindness, just stay in a hurry always. But if you can find time to allow yourself to be interrupted. And by the way, who was the greatest teacher of that ever? Jesus. Just read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. How many times did Jesus get interrupted as he walked, as he talked? I mean, nobody's ever broken your roof open and lowered someone in the middle of it while you're giving a speech. It happened to Jesus. He walks along the road, people get in the way. He walks along the road, people grab his garment. He walks along the road, people run up to him and beg him to do something. He has a meal and people interrupt it. He is teaching his disciples and people interrupt. He is in a home trying to rest and people interrupt over and over and over. But we don't ever see him complain about that. He was not American. Can I say to you, we need to slow down. Now, I'm not telling you to get rid of your whole schedule, but what I'm saying in your busyness, and you've got a lot going on, and whatever happens, allow yourself to be interrupted from time to time that you might show the kindness of the Lord to others. It is an act of kindness. And then lastly, kindness will pay the price. This Samaritan took this man to get himself cared for. He left him at an inn and left money to provide for his rest, to provide for his meals, to provide for his physical care, whatever it took. He was willing to pay the price. Every now and then, someone will suggest to me that when we try to serve our community as a church through giving away groceries or gift cards or block parties or special events or this or that and the other, every once in a while, someone will say to me, you know, are we sure we're not wasting some money and resources in that way? And every now and then, someone will not use these words, but they're implying that some of the mission endeavors we're doing, because we have a lot of those and they add up and can be quite a strain, maybe a little bit on us as we seek to do the things that God's called us to around the world. Every now and then someone would say, would that be better served if we just did those things right here among us? And here's what I would say when it comes to, are we wasting our time and our effort and our money by being kind to others and showing acts of generosity? I would say that I beg to differ and Jesus begs to differ. How do I know that Jesus begs to differ? Well, it doesn't matter if I beg to differ, it's if he does. Over and over we see him showing us that it is costly to serve, but oh, how the cost matters. And then there's this one verse that I love that Jesus says that kind of settles it all. It's in John chapter 13, verse 17. In fact, if I were to ask you to memorize a verse, this would be a good one to memorize. The verse, it's Jesus speaking. He says, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Now, that's all the verse says. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. So the problem is, what things? You could fill in the blank for anything you wanted, but that doesn't make this correct or in the right context. So what is the context of what Jesus is talking about? What things are he referring to when he says, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them? Well, if you back up, the first 16 verses of that chapter give us a beautiful picture of Jesus walking into the room, taking off his outer garment, wrapping it around his body, getting down on his knees, taking a basin of water, and then washing his disciples' feet. He doesn't just, I don't want you to picture 12 of us going outside and walking down Main Street barefoot, and we come in and the bottoms of our feet are a little black because of the dirt on the road. I'm talking about walking the streets of Jerusalem, the manure-filled, dusty roads of a bustling city that didn't have the best plumbing system and didn't have the best street department and things like that. And so every day it was the lowest servant's job to wash their feet, and Jesus gets on the ground and he washes the disciples' feet. And then he says these words right here. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Jesus modeled for us what kindness really is. Jesus modeled for us what it means to serve others. Jesus modeled for us how to love people with our hands and feet. Now, just a few verses later, he says to the same group of people, same group, he says these words, "Just as I have loved you, so you should love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." So Jesus talks about loving. He says, this is how people will know that I'm who I say I am and that you belong to me, is if you love them. But he backs up by saying, here's how you love them. You serve them. So friends, let me just say, if you've been unfulfilled in your walk with Jesus, if you have been bored or maybe lacking in Holy Spirit power, I want to encourage you to live these two commands. Now listen, you already know the things not to do. Let's talk about the things to do. Let's just pick two. Share the gospel. You will find the power of God at work in your life. And serve others through acts of kindness. Serve someone in Jesus' name. You say, Chris, I'm nervous. I've gone before to give out little gift cards or laundry detergent or bags of groceries, and I did that, and that was great. That was fine, but that wasn't even easy for me. How in the world do you want me to speak words about who God is and what he's done for my life? Here's how you do it. First of all, you just decide in your mind that you're going to do it. Then you commit with your heart that you will do it. Then you pray and you ask God to help you. And then, friends, you can do it. I believe you can do it. In fact, I know the scripture is clear. God's called you to be his ambassador. God's called you to represent him. We get to be Jesus in the flesh on this earth. And so I want to encourage you to live that out, and for me too. If you've never shared the gospel verbally with someone, let it happen today. If you've been praying for someone to be saved, share with them, please. I want you to give your life to Jesus. And then also when it comes to serving, find a way to serve others and say, can I pray for you? Some of you may be thinking, you never prayed out loud a day in your life. Listen, I got to tell you, here's the difference between praying out loud and praying silently. You're just praying out loud. That seems a little oversimplified, doesn't it? Isn't that deep spiritual? You got that? Maybe that'll be our sermon recap on Facebook. The difference in praying silently and out loud is you're talking out loud. Friends, you say, I don't know if I can do that. Are you kidding? Do me a favor. Look at the person next to you and say, hello, how are you? Go ahead. Now, look back at me. If you spoke, you can do it. Now, well, I won't do that. I was going to ask you to look up to the Lord and say, hello, how are you? And show me you can do it out loud. But you can do it, I'm telling you. You say, yeah, but Chris, I'm embarrassed. Embarrassed of what? That I'll say the wrong thing. To who are you talking to? You're talking to him. He knows all the wrong things you've said already. So I encourage you. It's not about that. It's communication. Friends, there's no reason that every person in this room can't pray out loud. No reason at all. You say, yeah, but do I have to? Why can't I do it in my heart? I pray in secret. That's what the Bible says. You're missing the point, friends. Listen, there are people out there today that if you would just offer them some hope and say, can I pray for you? And ask them how to, your server at lunch, somebody else, if you could just say, can I pray for you? Just a quick little prayer. What a difference you can make in someone's life. You're talking to God, but you're influencing them. What a difference it can make. So, what are we going to do with today's message? I want to ask you to share the gospel, and I want to ask you to do an act of kindness. We're going to help you with that. We've done this multiple times over the last few years, but there are two tables in the back lobby, and they have, right outside the door here, they have gift cards on them. Now, you may say, well, are these gift cards to help someone in need? One of them is a $10 gift card to Foodland. That will buy somebody a dozen eggs. I mean, that'll buy something, but, but $10 you can take, you can get something with it. So you can give that to someone in need, but here's the key. They don't have to be in need. It could be someone that's got plenty of money on their own, but you're just lavishing a gift of kindness on them as a representation of what God would do for them. That because God has lavished gifts of kindness on us. You can give it to someone in need, but it's not about the need today. It's about the blessing. And blessing someone. So we have those. You can take one of those. We ask you to give it to someone and say, can I pray for you? This is from my church, a free gift. Can I pray for you? Anything I can pray about? Then have the intestinal fortitude, that's the fancy word for guts, to pray for them. You can do it. You can do it. Maybe though, if you say, I don't want to do that, I've done that before. Okay, we also have two sets of gift cards to two different car washes that will offer someone a free car wash. Now listen, if you're thinking, my truck is awful dirty, this is not for you. This is for you to give away. And so you'll give this away, one for the car wash at the top of the mountain in Gunnersville and one for right here on Main Street. You can take one of those, give it to someone, say, hey, it's springtime, lots of pollen things happening, and here's your speech to give them, okay? I've been working on this. So you go to them and you say, friend, my pastor told me to tell you that your windshield is dirty. I got more. So take this gift card and go get your windshield cleaned so that you may see your way clearly to Albertville First Baptist Church next Sunday morning. You get, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. That would be horrible. So you just give it to them. If you do it, let me know. Okay, somebody record it. I want to hear you doing it. But just give it to them. You say, well, how does that really help someone? It's just a bridge. It's just an act of kindness for you to say, we love you, appreciate you. Can we pray for you? And then there's one more. There's a set of cards out there. There's quite a few of these where we've got a little partnership going just for this month with Cook & Sons Ace Hardware. It's springtime. Everybody's buying something out there. So there's a $10 gift card out there you can take to your neighbor. You see them planting some trees or you think they need to plant some trees, whatever. Take it to them. Say, this is for you to use just to be a blessing. And we want you to know we love you. No strings attached. You may go to church somewhere else or not, but can I pray for you? We're just trying to pray for people in our community. Just show an act of kindness to pray. Now, normally we say one per family. We've got enough. You can, if you've got more than one in your family here, you can take two of those. So take a couple of things. But here's the catch. Don't take it if you're going to throw it at them and run. The point is not to give them something. The point is to serve them in Jesus' name. So I want to ask you to pray for them. Friends, I want to encourage you to do that. Listen, we're just helping you. We're providing the bridge so that you can be the bridge for the gospel's sake. Now, they don't have to be lost. They can be someone you know knows the Lord, but you're just trying to be an encouragement to them. Listen, everybody loves it when they know someone's praying for them. So would you take one or two of those today before you leave? You're welcome to take two, and we would encourage you to do so. Now, why do this again? It's not because in the Bible we see them giving away gift cards. But it is because in the Bible we see over and over radical generosity from our Savior. And we see over and over He uses that as a bridge to lead people to Him. And so I think as believers, there's nothing greater we could do, as the Scripture says, than to show the kindness of the Lord in physical form. So that's some simple ways to lavish a gift on somebody. It's a $10 value, but it'll make a difference in someone's life. Will you do it? And then on top of that, there are those people outside of serving them. That's part. The other part is this. There's someone you need to share the gospel with. Is it a family member? Is it a friend? Is it a neighbor? Is it someone you run into today? I don't know. But my prayer is that you'll take those things and give those out by end of day tomorrow. Why tomorrow? In case you give it to a coworker. And my prayer is that you'd be willing to verbally share the gospel this week with someone. You will ask God to give you an opportunity, and that you will decide in your mind to do it, commit with your heart to do it, and then decide who it's going to be and go do it. Listen, I promise you, if you'll do it, even if they don't give their life to the Lord, you will not be bored in your faith today. There is nothing like sharing the gospel. I will tell you, one of the first people I ever was able to lead to the Lord, I was in the show choir at my high school, Lee High School in Huntsville, Alabama, and it was in between a practice and the next class, and we had a little small dressing room. It was really a closet, but it was an oversized closet where we were all in there changing clothes and in a hurry, and as things kind of settled out, there was one guy left in there, and we got to talk and ended up getting to lead him to the Lord right there in that dressing room. And you say, well, why do you tell us that? Because that was 37 years ago. And I remember it like yesterday. Why? Because it was the most exhilarating experience I'd ever had as a 15-year-old. There's nothing like leading somebody to Jesus. I think about a man that I led to the Lord in Maine in Starbucks. It was in the Barnes & Noble in Starbucks. We were sitting there, and Starbucks is not a huge fan of you talking about Jesus out loud, especially not in Maine, but we didn't care. So we were sitting there, was sharing with him. He was asking questions. He had a little notebook where we met a couple of times. He had lots of questions. And then finally, he was ready to give his life to the Lord. So right there, I shared with him how he could give his life to Jesus. I said, we don't have to leave here to do it. We can do this right here in Starbucks. And so he said, I'll do it right here. And he bowed his head and gave his life to the Lord right there. Listen, I'll never forget that. Why? Because that was anything but boring. It was so exhilarating to be a part of God's plan for helping to be the bridge for someone coming to Christ. I could tell you story after story after story, and many of you could stand and do the same thing. But the truth is, it's something you need to experience for yourself. And the scripture is clear that God's called you to do it. So share the gospel. You say, I don't know how to do that clearly. Share your story, how you came to Christ. Start with that. How they need him, the grace of God's available to them. So will you help me with these things today? I ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes for just a little moment of privacy. So I'm asking you, first of all, to make a commitment to physically do something, to grab some of those gift cards and be a blessing to someone today, to offer to pray for them. Who knows how God might use that? In fact, if you'll give them out today, tonight, we'll even ask for a couple of testimonies at our church-wide fellowship, maybe about how that went, if somebody wants to share. But then secondly, will you make a renewed commitment, not just to serve others in Jesus' name, but to share the gospel with that coworker, that family member, that friend, that neighbor, the new person you're going to meet today, the person you're going to meet tomorrow? Listen, I promise to share it. You can do it. You can do it. And then be reminded that people are not interruptions. They will interrupt you. But often that's a divine appointment where God is giving you an opportunity to be the hands and feet of Jesus. So look for ways to slow down so that you might show the kindness of the Lord. With our heads bowed, maybe you also have another decision to make. Maybe there's someone you're praying that you know you need to share the gospel with. I invite you to come and kneel here and just pray for them for a moment. Maybe you've got something else that's going on in your life. In just a moment, I'm going to announce we have four families joining our church today. Maybe you want to unite with our church. Today's the day you want to do that. Maybe you want to follow through with believers' baptism. You have Jesus in your life, but you've never been baptized, and so you want to set that up to do. Or maybe for you, you want to give your life to Jesus. Whatever he is saying to you today, as we sing, would you make a renewed commitment to live out what this song says? It says, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, for thee. Take my hands, take my mouth, take my feet, use it, Father. God, today we commit to serve in your name. We commit to love like you love. We commit to share in your name. Father, speak to us now in Jesus' name.
You've been listening to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. For more information, please call 256-878-2291 or visit www.albertvillefbc.org. We hope you will join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB.